listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY
Musician
Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to episode number 187 of the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast. My name is Kevin Bruner, your host for the show. One of the top questions I get from artists is, how can I promote my music online, especially with tools like Facebook, Twitter, social tools, ways to engage people online where I'm not touring? So I hear that a lot. Well, today we're going to be talking about how to create an engaging Facebook Live event with Wade Sutton and Amanda Jones. Wade runs an artist development company called Rocket to the Stars, and Amanda is one of Wade's clients. And when they were looking for a way to engage with Amanda's fans on Facebook, they came up with an idea to take a Facebook Live event to the next level and be fun and engaging not only for the fans online, but for the fans in the venue as well. But before we go any further, I need to remind you to get your tickets for the DIY Musician Conference. Tickets are now $99, which is still a screaming deal for all you get. Don't wait again and miss out on the $99 price. If you listen to this show and love the content, then the conference will be just like stepping into the podcast to experience it live with over 1,000 people just like you. You should definitely be there. I'm telling you, this year in Nashville is going to be amazing. I can't wait. Just head over to DIYMusicianCon.com. That's DIYMusicianCon.com to get your tickets now. All right, on to my interview with Wade and Amanda. Well, joining me on the line is Wade Sutton and Amanda Jones. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Good, thanks.
Well, this is the first time for me to have two remote guests in two different locations for an interview, so it's exciting. It only took 186 episodes to make that happen, I think. So I can't remember another time where we've done that, where multiple locations, and it's working. It's working just fine. So excited to have you, both of you on the show. We're going to be talking about Facebook Live and sort of a success story and case study that we posted on the DIY Musician blog about how you used Facebook Live and an interesting way you went about making it happen and catering it to both the online audience and the folks at the show. So we'll get into that very soon. But first, I wanted to give each of you a chance to introduce yourself and give us a little bit of info about who you are. Wade, why don't you go first?
All right. Thanks, Kevin. My name is Wade Sutton from Rocket to the Stars, artist development and music PR. I work with artists all over the world, doing a lot of different things. I have a radio journalism background initially, so I do a lot of things as far as bio writing, press release writing, working with artists on anything related to music PR. In addition to that, I also work with a lot of people on things like live performance training and the production of their live shows. And I really put a strong emphasis on things like, how do we get the people in the audience to sign up for your email list? What can we do to get them back to the merchandise table? And what can we do to improve the engagement between the artist and the fans? And over the last couple of years, I've done had the opportunity to do a lot of cool things, obviously writing some articles for the CD Baby DIY website, in addition to some other websites, and heading down to Nashville all the time to speak at conferences there and doing webinars and various different things. So it's been a great ride over the last couple of years.
Did you mention where you're based at? Because you mentioned you go to Nashville a lot. I actually thought you were in Nashville, but you're not in Nashville. Where are you based at?
You know what? I'm about an hour north of Pittsburgh, right by the Pennsylvania-Ohio border, and everybody thinks that I am from Nashville. I think it's just because I've become so embedded in the music community there, and I travel there a couple of times a year, and I think people are just used to seeing me there and teaming up with a lot of the bigger people in Nashville on various projects.
Amanda, you're up.
Yes.
Tell us about who you are, your music, and
awesome.
Where you're based at, because I know you're not, I know you're not from the same place Wade's from.
I'm from Youngstown, based out of Youngstown, Ohio, so about, 45 minutes to an hour from where Wade is. I've been in a band for different bands for the past couple of years, and I've been songwriting ever since I was about 13 years old. So I've been performing with this band for the past about 4 years, and we've been working in the tri-state area performing. And I've been traveling a lot and trying to expand the horizons of where I'm going in the music industry, where my music is going, and the places that I can perform. So, and I've been working with Wade for, I don't know, about a year now, I think. So
yeah.
It's been great. So I do country music too, country crossover music. So
excellent. I'm excited to talk about Facebook Live and the little case study that you put together and the experiments you guys did with the live show. It's one of those things where artists have been hearing about it, think it's probably something I should do something about, but honestly, even just where to get started is tough. And, you know, I've been looking at my Facebook feed and I see a lot of Facebook Live stuff that looks very boring or just awkwardly shot, almost uncomfortable to sit there and watch. But anyway, we're going to talk about how you can do it right today. And why don't one of you start off with just telling us like how you even get set up with Facebook Live in the first place? Because I know that there's some folks that may have a Facebook page but have never tried to do live broadcast. And so do I need the app? What do I need to do to launch a Facebook Live video?
Amanda, you want to take that or do you want me to do it?
You could take that one, Wade. You're the one who taught me how to use Facebook Live, so...
Well, I mean, basically, if you have the Facebook app on your phone, you have access to Facebook Live, and it's very easy to get the thing turned on. All you have to do is go to where you're going to make a post, and when you go to type in the text, you'll see an icon underneath the text box that says Go Live. And all you have to do is hit that, and you just type in whatever you want the headline on that post to be that's going to go along with the video, and hit the button to start it. It really is that easy. It's very intuitive. And, you know, Facebook has put so much of an emphasis on great video content because it gets shared more. And because of the algorithms, it shows up in more people's news feeds. So it's a very important tool for Facebook. It was something that they jumped on. You know, you look back even before Facebook Live became a big thing, you had some other services that were out there. I remember it was about 2 years ago at South by Southwest, Meerkat was what everybody was talking about, the live streaming service. And Meerkat started to gain a lot of popularity. People were sharing their videos that they were doing on Meerkat through Twitter. And Twitter took a look at that and said, whoa, you know, we need to come up with our own service that we can integrate with the Twitter platform. And that ultimately ended up being Periscope. And then a period of time went by, and then obviously Facebook saw that and say, hey, we've got to get on this live video ship as well. And that's when they ended up bringing out Facebook Live.
Yeah, and you started to touch on something that I think is very important for artists who might be listening to this episode going, why should I care about Facebook Live? Well, we get asked all the time, how do I reach my fans on Facebook? How do I, you know, it doesn't seem like my posts get shown anymore. And it's true, a lot of the text and old kind of posts are getting buried, but Facebook has definitely said they love video and they even love Facebook Live even more. So if you're doing a Facebook Live event, your video will have a much broader reach just by nature of how Facebook is featuring those videos.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, the thing to keep in mind is from a business perspective, Facebook is doing everything it can to keep people on Facebook for as long as possible. And video content is a fantastic way to do that, because if you've got somebody that jumps on Facebook Live and they're broadcasting, I mean, just to throw a number out there, they're broadcasting for 30 minutes. If you have people sticking around because that content is interesting and is entertaining, then that's great for Facebook because they've now kept you on their page for 30 minutes. And not only does that drive up viewership, but over the long run, that drives up revenue for Facebook.
Yes, it does. So yeah, it's in their best interest to feature the content that's going to get people to stick around and get them engaged. So let's start talking about what you actually did and your approach to your live events that saw some success. For some background, just where, Wade, I know that you were sort of trying to think about how to make this better and that a lot of the videos were boring and uninteresting or awkward looking. Tell us a little bit about the thought process and how the idea for what you and Amanda worked up with her and her band came about.
Well, I was driving over to Youngstown to work with Amanda. It was one afternoon, I think back in November. And, you know, I'm always looking for some different things that artists can do to engage their audiences, to entertain them, things that are different that you're not seeing a lot of other people doing. And it was kind of a combination of that line of thinking with the frustration that I get when I hear artists complaining about people having their phones out at their live shows. And I say that with total understanding of why an artist feels that way. You know, they're performing and they want people to be focused on them. I totally get that. But at the same time, you know, I kind of acknowledged and accepted the fact that cell phones are not going anywhere. So we can either continue to complain about their presence at live shows, or we can figure out a way to use those cell phones to our advantage. And as I was driving out to work with Amanda, I started to kind of formulate this plan where I thought, you know, what if we could do something utilizing Facebook Live, that in doing that, we can find ways to get people to get their phones out during the shows and either maybe Facebook Live it on their own accounts, or at the very least, get them to go on to the Facebook Live broadcast during the show, even though they're at the venue, and get them to leave comments and get them to share it. That way, in the end, it would be beneficial to the band because Facebook's algorithms would pick up on that activity taking place on the video and continue to push it into more people's news feeds. So really, I mean, it was an effort, at least as far as Amanda went, it was an effort to drive up the numbers on the Facebook Live video and give her some content that she would be able to use further down the road for other things.
So you started putting together an idea, and I know you had some inspiration from U2 and what Bruce Springsteen right. were doing and trying to bring that to the smaller stage for an artist using Facebook Live. What was that inspiration?
Well, you know, I look back at two shows. One was a U2 concert that I saw video of on YouTube. It took place a couple of years ago. And this was prior to Facebook Live being launched, and they were using Periscope. And basically what they did was they invited a fan up on stage. They put a phone into her hands, and that phone was tapped into the band's Periscope feed. So they allowed the fan to walk around on the stage and basically shoot whatever she wanted to shoot while they were performing this one song. And all of that went out on Periscope. And as that was going on, the video feed from Periscope was beamed onto the Jumbotron at the concert. So that was one of the things that was kind of floating around in my head. The twist with the Bruce Springsteen show was I went back and I looked at the Super Bowl halftime show that he did. And one of the big things that stuck out to me about that performance was the fact that while Bruce Springsteen was performing at the Super Bowl halftime show, not only was he looking at and engaging the live audience that was directly in front of him, but he was also really playing it up directly into the camera. So, you know, to steal a Daredevil term, or not a Daredevil term, a Deadpool term, he was basically breaking the fourth wall. And for somebody that was sitting at home watching that on television, it was a lot more interesting because you kind of went from feeling like the proverbial fly on the wall watching a show through the lens of the camera to suddenly feeling like you were there, like the person who was performing for you, even though you were sitting on the couch watching it on television. So it was a matter of taking that aspect of the Bruce Springsteen show, along with the aspect of what we saw with U2 doing the Periscope broadcast, and figuring out a way to bring that to a smaller stage, but to do so in a way that it felt very produced, at least as far as the performance went.
Yeah. So Amanda, when Wade brought you this idea, what was your initial reaction?
I loved it. I thought it was great, and I thought it was a great way to not only engage the audience, but engage the people who, you know, we have fans, thanks to social media, we have fans all around the world. And so it's a great way to engage them and make them feel like they were a part of a concert too, and like they were there without them even having to be there. And so I thought it was great. I thought it was fun. I'm always into performing and doing something different. So it was a blast to work on.
So as you guys started to implement this idea, what are some of the problems that you were trying to fix with what most artists are doing on Facebook Live. I kind of threw out some general ideas of things like they're boring or it's awkward, but you had some very specific things that you'd been seeing artists do, Wade, that you thought was an issue.
Well, the big one, at least as far as a Facebook Live broadcast from a live show, was more often than not, when you see that pop up in your feed, what the artist has done was place the phone on either a tripod or somebody's holding it. They're up on stage while the person with the phone is off the stage, kind of off to the side. And when you're sitting there and you're trying to watch that on Facebook, I mean, yeah, you know, if you like the music, you like the music. But at least as far as the performance itself goes, it makes you feel very detached from it, which I think is the exact opposite feeling a music artist should be trying to create in somebody that's watching them perform. You know, you want to create a sense of attachment. And when we sat down and we started looking at this, the first thing that I really wanted to tackle was, how do we make this captivating over the course of three songs, which was how long this live broadcast was? How do we make it engaging so that when somebody is watching it, they feel like they're there?
So, Amanda, how receptive were your bandmates with this idea? Because I know what it's like to be in a band and there'd be good ideas floating around. And then you go, well, how are we going to get this guy to buy in on this idea? What did your band think about the idea?
You know what? I have been blessed with a wonderful band who is willing to go to the moon. So so they were very receptive to it. And, you know, it took extra work, took extra practices. But like I said, we've got some great people who are willing to put in the time and the effort to do that. And to do something like this, that is what it really takes. And your whole band has to be on that page of wanting to be different, of wanting to improve upon something that they've been doing for the past few years, and to really branch out and just take a chance on something that hasn't really been done with a lot of other bands before. And so I think just them being open and receptive to it really helped out the process.
Yeah.
And you know what, too? I got to say, I have to throw this out there. You know, everybody in the band, Amanda, her dad, Michael, her sister, Brittany, Brittany's husband, Nathan, who's the bass player, Frank and David, the drummer and the electric guitar player, they were all so receptive to this idea. And they were all on board and they were all willing to give it a shot. And from the perspective of somebody that works with people on performance, that makes my life so much easier. And it increases the likelihood of a band putting on a good show when people are willing to give this a shot openly and to buy into that idea. Because, you know, Kevin, you just made that comment. There have been several times in working with people where it feels like, you know, half the band is on board with the idea, but maybe one or two people just have absolutely no interest in doing it. And that makes it extremely difficult, not just for somebody who's trying to teach performance, but it makes it difficult for the other people in the band who are receptive to the idea, because now it feels like everybody's on two different pages.
I've been in several bands like that, and it usually doesn't end well.
No, it really doesn't. And that's why, you know, Amanda, everybody in that band, I swear they're one of my absolute favorite bands to work with because of that.
Well, thanks. Well, you've
got this idea and, you know, sort of how to approach it. What were the getting down to, like, the actual specific tasks that had to be put into place to pull this off? So what you got this idea, you want to use Facebook Live, you want to make it more engaging, like how some of these major artists have been using some of these tools, just bringing it down to Facebook Live. What was next to actually pull it off?
Well, really what we had to do from the beginning is in planning everything out, I sat down and I broke everything down into two components. So we had the component that we had to work on first, which was the performance itself for those three songs that were part of that show. And, you know, I had an idea going into it, some of the visuals that I wanted, the three songs that we picked for that part of the broadcast. I wanted those three songs in there specifically because those songs were conducive to some of the visuals that I wanted to have in there. So things like during the second song, Ready to Fall, there's a part in there where Amanda goes down. She drops down to her knees to finish the song. We ended up bringing Michael and Nathan up on either side of her, and there was a lot of movement with it. But it was stuff that was visually conducive with what you were hearing in the lyrics. And we had to get all the performances in place. We had to work through that, make sure everybody knew what they were going to be doing at any given time. And then once we had all of that done, there was this other layer that we had to place over that, which was essentially the television production of it. That's basically what we did is we produced a television broadcast for three songs. And what we had to do is we had to get Elise, who ended up operating the camera that night. We had her come in and we went through the motions of saying, okay, there's this visual that we need to make sure we get on camera when it happens. So Elise had to know everything that was going on at any given time. And she had to know who was going to be doing what had to be caught on camera, and from what angle she had to get it from so that it would look the best. So she had to move around a lot on stage while the performances were going on around her.
And by camera, you mean phone, right?
Yes. Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did it from a phone.
Just for clarification. Yeah. Just so people aren't thinking that you're using a fancy video camera. It was all from the phone that was actually broadcasting it to Facebook right then and there.
Yes, it was, I believe, an iPhone 6.
Yes.
So you had the person on stage trying to understand what was going to happen so they could create a broadcast that is enjoyable to watch on Facebook. How did you set up prep the audience for this? Because you said you only did three songs and it wasn't at the beginning of the set. How did you manage the actual audience in the house?
Amanda, you can tell that.
Okay. So before we got to the venue and everything, when we were talking about the show on Facebook, we did announce on our Facebook when we talked about the event that we were going to be doing a special Facebook Live event during it. So wanted to prep people who were coming to the venue that something was going to be going on other than just our usual sort of concert. And then during the first set, we did the three songs at the end of our first set. We figured that that would be a good time. Everybody would be there. Everybody would be engaged at that time. And it would be a good way to sort of end out the first set. So there were sort of little hints dropped throughout the first set in between songs saying, remember, we're doing our special Facebook Live event tonight. Make sure you have your phones with you. Get prepared. Come on down front, guys. Trying to get everybody down on the floor, trying to get them dancing and really energized for this about to happen. And then right before we started, we actually started with a song called Jones Family Reunion, where we picked someone out of the audience to come up on stage. So we had a good moment of transition while that person was coming up on stage to announce to everybody in the audience, the Facebook Live event, it's happening now. Get out your phones. Look at the screen over there. You're going to see the Facebook Live feed on the big screen. You're going to see yourself on the big screen. Get your phone out. Engage with us. Talk to us on it. And try and get everyone's phones out. Get them ready to go before we went into that first song and started filming for it. And people were very receptive to it. They seemed to really enjoy it. It was a good time.
What kind of technical issues did you have to solve in order to have the live Facebook feed that was being shot on stage right there actually broadcast back for the audience in the house to see on the screen?
I think Wade can probably talk more about this, that was sort of a difficulty at first, logging onto the Wi-Fi and making sure that no one was going to kick the phone off Wi-Fi by using the bootleggers, that was the venue we were at, bootleggers, their Wi-Fi system. I believe we used our own hotspot to sort of keep things close to us so that no one else could log on to it. There was no chance of anybody kicking the phone off and keeping up to date with that so that nothing was interfering. But I know we did have a little problem at first. Wade, I know that you helped to fix that, though.
Well, yeah, Elise and I were backstage and we were getting ready to go on, and Elise was just preparing to hit the live button to begin the broadcast on the phone. And we noticed that the internet signal wasn't as strong as it had been, and there were concerns about how that was going to affect the feed. And basically what happened was, where we were, Bootleggers is kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and the cell reception out there isn't the best. So the initial plan was to get on the Wi-Fi, but there were difficulties once we got out there. So ultimately what we ended up doing was I told Elise to click over to the 3G because it seemed like that was going to be the best opportunity. And she got up on stage after, it was Brittany's phone that we did it from. And I know Elise had to take the phone over to Brittany to have Brittany do something. But once we got logged on, we didn't have any problems with it. But I, you know, for anybody in the future that's thinking about doing this, I mean, really the thing that you have to keep in mind is I know that a Facebook Live video can chew up your data very quickly, but there's an inherent problem and danger that comes with using the Wi-Fi of the business. And that is the fact that you run the risk of a lot of other people using the Wi-Fi at the same time, which can obviously affect the strength. And it's not just always a matter of people at that specific business. If there are other businesses that are located pretty close to it, you might have some people in those places that are also leeching off that Wi-Fi. I know a couple of years ago, I was in Nashville, and it was during CMA Fest, and the hotel that I was staying in outside of the town had put me in a hotel room. The location where I was in the building, I was not getting the Wi-Fi very well, and I had to work. So I, for those couple of days when I was having to Skype with some of my clients, I was actually using the Wi-Fi from the Taco Bell that was next door. And that happens in all businesses. So, you know, if you're going to do this, I tell people it's better to be on your data just to be safe. And if that means each month planning out what the broadcasts are going to be and maybe having to really pay attention to your data usage during the rest of the month, then that's what you're going to have to do. But, you know, if you want to go on and you want to use the Wi-Fi, that's fine. Just know that if you've got a lot of other people trying to get on at the same time, that it could affect your feed.
At minimum, you need a backup plan, especially if it's something you're advertising is going to happen.
Absolutely.
and for bands listening or artists listening, checking the Wi-Fi strength during sound check is not going to be the same as when there's 200-300 people in the building all trying to log on at the same time. So that's something to consider as well. So with the, I know you've mentioned that it was very important to have that screen for the audience there. What was the thinking behind, you know, projecting the feed up for the audience in the house, and how, what were the technical issues of, you know, getting that together, or the cost, I should say, because I'm assuming you don't travel with a projector and screen with you.
Well, Amanda, they, you guys actually have a screen and a projector, but the one that we used that night, the band brought a company in to do it just to make sure that everything was going to go off without any problems. You know, as far as the importance of having it there, I mean, the big reason is just visually, it gave the audience something to see that they weren't used to seeing at that venue. It makes it look more professional. And in addition, because of the fact that we were doing the Facebook Live feed, it put people in a position where they wanted to jump on Facebook where the feed was and leave comments, because then they were seeing their comments and their names scroll up on the screen. And because more people were leaving comments, it was forcing the video into more people's news feed. So it kind of was like this snowball going down the hill as the show went on. And I know, you know, I'm really big on figuring out ways to repurpose video. And one of the things that the band did with this after it was done was they took that video and created a sizzle reel that they could use at trade shows. But one of the things that came from this while they were doing the show, I was watching the screen, and somebody who was there at the show had gone on and left a comment and said something along the lines of, "Hands down, this is the best show I have ever seen at this venue." And to be able to get something like that and screenshot that for further use is invaluable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. I think the screen thing's interesting because it almost adds like a gamification type thing with leaving comments, that the more people inside the venue start seeing their names go across, the more they want to keep leaving comments to see who can leave the most comments. And then, you know, it becomes a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
So with the people. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Amanda might be able to answer this because I'm not 100% sure, but the cost to have the AV company come in and set up that screen, and then they brought a laptop, and from the laptop, they used that to put the Facebook Live feed on the screen. But I'm personally not sure what they were looking at as far as the charge for that.
Personally, I don't know the exact. I know it was probably in the area of a couple hundred.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
For that, since we had to bring the projector and the screen in, we do have our own. At the time, they were on order, though, so they didn't come in time. But for an event like that, you know, you don't do a Facebook Live event like that every day or every show. And so for us, for that venue, it was a great venue. There are great people there. And for us to do our absolute best, it was worth that small sacrifice of what we were getting paid that night to do it in order to get not only the response that we got from people, which was fantastic, but the video that was great that we were able to use for sizzle reels, not only on our website, but as Wade said, for future trade shows. That is invaluable for potentially booking future shows. So it's, you know, put it under the title of advertising for yourself or promotion for yourself. And making that small sacrifice can really push it forward. Make sure, you know, it's like if you're going to do something big like this, you want to make sure you do it right and you go all out when you can. So.
And so that company that you hired, they were just logging into Facebook to get that video feed? Is that how they were putting it up on the screen, just by connecting to Facebook?
Yeah, they had a laptop that was connected to their projector, and so they just pulled up our Facebook feed, and they opened up the live video once we got to it, and it just showed up on the screen there. So pretty easy.
Seems easy enough.
Yeah.
And you know, another thing, too, for anybody that's listening to this that's thinking about doing something like this, particularly with a video screen, if you're going to bring somebody in, make sure that you specifically ask them to bring a rear projector, a rear screen projector, because you can either do the front screen projector or the rear. But as we were talking about this and planning it out, it was actually Amanda's father that had brought it up. He said, you know, I would rather there be a rear projector, because if we do a front projector, we might run into situations where there's some clowns making shadow puppets on the screen.
There's always a character in the audience who's going to start doing something.
Always. So that, you know, that was a great thing that he brought up, that, you know, I definitely encourage people to keep that in mind.
And we were able to use the screen as well when we didn't use it for Facebook Live. In between our sets, we showed video. We have a music video. We could put the music video up there. We could put up our old sizzle reel to sort of get people excited for the show coming up. So you can also, you can use the screen for more than just the Facebook Live that evening when you're using it.
Let's go back to a little bit more of the talk about the preparation. You know, it's clear that I don't think we it's clear that this wasn't an event that you guys decided last second to do. And so there's lots of preparation, but you specifically to your fans said it's happening this night at this time so they could log into Facebook, correct?
Correct.
So how much leeway or lead time did you have from when you announced it to actually doing all the preparations for it?
I'm trying to think, Wade, when we started working on it, probably about a month and a half.
When I mentioned the idea to Amanda, it was in November, and the show itself took place in late January. And, you know, I mean, I think when we actually began the rehearsals and running through everything, if I remember correctly, we did a session in December, and then we did another one a couple of weeks later in January. Yeah. And then the show took place. But even before we had that first session where we were going through the rehearsals, there was still, you know, the planning that was going on my part, figuring out ahead of time, what is this going to look like? What are we going to have to make sure we get on camera? And just how do we do something like this so that it goes off the way that we want it to go? So I know, like, the breakdown of the rehearsals, the first rehearsal, we went over all of the performance stuff and ran through everything a whole bunch of times, came up with different ideas of the various visuals that we wanted to have, and then just ran through that until we knew we had it down. But in addition to doing that in that rehearsal, I also grabbed one of their phones, and while they were rehearsing the songs and the performances, I bobbed and weaved between everybody and actually recorded the video the way that I wanted the video to look. And then when we got done with that, we gave that video to Elise so that she could go home for a couple of weeks and study it, and from watching it, know where she had to be when she had the camera.
Yeah.
And then at the second rehearsal, we continued to work on the performance and really lock everything down. But as those performances were taking place in rehearsal, Elise every time had the camera, and she was doing multiple run-throughs while the band was performing.
So explain a little bit about the visuals that you were looking for. I know that a lot of people, like you mentioned, just put up a camera and it's kind of boring. But even just running around the stage, it seemed like you had more things that you were looking for, maybe timing it to certain aspects of the song or different things. Tell me a little bit about how you guys prepared for that and planned for that and kind of storyboarded it out, I guess, is kind of what it sounds like.
I had a basic idea going in of some of the things that I wanted people to see. You know, I made that comment earlier about how in Ready to Fall, there's that visual of Amanda dropping down to her knees near the end of the song. At one point in there, I can't remember if this was during Ready to Fall or during Jones Family Reunion, Amanda, when you tossed the beach balls out into the crowd.
Oh, yeah. I think that was Jones Family.
Yeah.
I think that was in Jones Family there.
That was a visual we wanted, too. It was the visual of the beach balls going out over the crowd and the people in the crowd hitting the beach ball around. Really one of the best visuals that came from that, and it was the one that we ran with at the climax of the set. And I think it was Amanda who brought this up, was she said during the rehearsal, wouldn't it be cool if I got up on Nathan's shoulders and rode on his shoulders and sang while he walked around and played? And as soon as she said that, I said, that's what we're running with for the end. And that was one of the things that we had. And then Amanda has this this prop beer mug that is made out of heavy plastic, and it looks like there's beer inside of it, even though there isn't. And that last song that we did that to was called Wine, Whiskey, and Beer, so it was appropriate. But that visual of Amanda up on Nathan's shoulders while he's walking around, and Nate, you know, Nate's a big guy, he's strong, he's got no problem carrying Amanda around, and he's playing the bass while he's doing this. And it made for a lot of energy, and it made for a lot of things taking place on stage that, to be honest, a lot of artists don't even come close to doing.
So how did you prepare for, like, when you're looking for visuals, getting people to interact with the camera as opposed to the audience? And did each person have, like, little cues throughout the song where they knew the camera would be there and sort of pre-plan out some of those interactions?
Yeah. In a lot of cases, people knew when the camera was going to be on them. I know during one of the songs, if you watch that, there's a part where Nathan and Brittany are very close to each other by the keyboard, and they both turn and look into the camera at the same time. All of that stuff was planned out and rehearsed ahead of time. But, you know, another thing, too, I mean, just to give credit to everybody in the band, they were all very naturally good at engaging the camera and singing into it and looking very comfortable doing that. Because some people you ask them to do something like that, they're going to stiffen up, but none of them did that. They were all very good about that.
And as an artist, if it's one thing that I've learned, I had a background in theater. And one of the things they always used to say to us in performance was, if you feel ridiculous doing it, then you're probably doing it just right. And so doing things in the camera or things like getting up on Nathan's shoulders or, you know, sort of if you're doing an action, sort of overdoing the action, it might all feel ridiculous to you. But Wade had explained to me we were talking about how the energy dissipates over a crowd. And the further back you are from a stage, the less energetic something looks. So you might feel like you're giving it a lot of energy, but the people way in the back might not feel that from you. And so the bigger you can be, the more ridiculous it feels, probably the better off you are. So.
Yep. Yep. And most artists think they're just rocking out and they're just standing there. So. So it sounds like you guys pulled it off without a hitch, and you saw an immediate bump in social activity, and you mentioned some benefits that you got from it. By people making positive comments about the best band they've ever seen. And I know in the article you mentioned how you were able to get a gig the next day. How have you taken this experience and are you doing it again? Have you expanded on it, or has it become a part of what you do on a regular basis?
Yeah, I think that we will be doing it more in the future. I know that we're planning this summer some of our bigger shows. We're doing some fairs and festivals, perhaps doing something of the like again, because it really did. We noticed after we performed those three songs and after we did that Facebook Live set, we took our short break, And then we came back out for our second set, and people were just drawn to the front of the stage. It was insane, the amount of, you know, the response that we got from it. And so for our second set, it was like people just let loose and had such a great time. And they were so connected with us. We have some great pictures. People were just way down up front and singing along and dancing. And it, you could feel the change of energy. And so I think going forward, it would definitely be something beneficial for us to do as we move on to some of these bigger shows. I would love to do it again.
One thing I forgot to ask about when I mentioned the time frame, were there any logistic issues during the show to actually hit that time mark with the having to, you know, you emailed all your fans saying, join us on Facebook at this time. And then suddenly you've got the what's happening on the live show to manage, plus this impending time where you told everybody to be online. And I'm assuming if you missed it by like 10 minutes, people would probably not hang around to see what happens.
Yeah, that was a hard one. I think when we were talking to people about doing the Facebook Live, we had to try and plan out our set. From doing these songs for so many years, you kind of get a good feel about how many of your songs it takes to take up an hour or take up an hour and a half. And so we tried to plan our set list as best as possible. But we did sort of give an estimated time on our Facebook to people between this time and this time. And we tried to give an earlier time so that people would already be logged on and ready to go for it so that they wouldn't miss the broadcast. And wait, if I'm correct, I think we got pretty close. It was a tough one, but I think we got pretty close to the time that we had announced. And so we were watching the time on our computer that we have up on stage for loops and trying to time it out as best as possible. I think we ended up skipping a song or two as well to try and get to that time point.
Yeah,
so it took a lot of brain power.
Yeah, they were pretty close to the start time that they had announced, and like Amanda said, they ended up chopping a couple of songs because Michael, I think it was, realized the time and made the decision to cut a few of the songs. And I know I was sitting off to the side with Elise. And Elise actually looked up at one point and she said, uh-oh. And I never like hearing somebody say, uh-oh. And I said, what? And she said, they just skipped a couple of songs. But really the problem that came about with that was one of those songs that was skipped was a song in which Nathan kind of ducks off stage for a little while to find the volunteer that goes up on stage at the beginning of Joan's Family Reunion. And because that song got cut out, Nathan wasn't able to get off the stage. Well, fortunately, Elise was paying attention and she realized it. So she brought that to my attention and I ran over and I mean, literally I grabbed the first female that walked by me and said, guess what? You're helping out. So we had to have her hurry up and sign some release forms because we were going to have her up on stage and the video was involved and shuffled her around to the backstage area to, you know, to get her up there. But, you know, through all that and then, you know, that little bit of a hiccup getting everything online, we still ended up getting the broadcast up and running very, very closely to when the announced time was.
Yeah.
Are there any things that you guys would have done differently now that you've done this and are looking to, you know, do it more throughout, you know, your upcoming shows? Any key takeaways, key learnings, things you'd do differently, or advice to other artists that are thinking about trying to do take Facebook Live events beyond just turning on their camera?
Go ahead with that one, Amanda. I have some ideas, but I want you to go first on this one.
Oh, goodness. One of the things for sure, just as a bit of advice, if you have a team with you, you know, we had Elise and she is wonderful. And of course we had Wade there and he's wonderful. And if you have a team with you, make sure that everyone in the team is aware of every little piece that's going on rather than just having the band know what's going on with the filming. Make sure everybody knows and everybody has a set list and everybody knows the plan B if something goes wrong. And I think surrounding yourself with those people, especially when you're an artist on stage, you know, I'm up there singing. If something goes wrong, I can't just leave the stage and go fix it. You know, it's scary. You know, you're preparing for this big event. And so to have good people around you who know what's going on and are aware of the little nuances of what you're supposed to do during that set. For example, like when we bring up the girl and Elise knew that Nathan couldn't get off the stage to find somebody to come up on stage, she took charge and Wade took charge and they found somebody. It's just so important to have those people around you because the last thing you want to do on stage while you're performing is have to worry about those kinds of things. And so that was a great thing to have around us. Wade, I don't know, anything that you have to add?
Yeah, you know what, a couple of things. The Facebook Live broadcast was great, and Elise did a fantastic job. But one of the things that I wish I would have thought of beforehand is I wish we would have thought about using a stabilizer device for the cell phone. And Elise did a good job so that it wasn't bouncy. But those stabilizer arms make everything just look so much more professional. And, you know, you can get them for like $200. And yeah. I think most artists will be surprised just how much they'll use them. That's one thing. The other thing was, if anybody's thinking about doing this, do consider the possibility of using this opportunity to get video that you can use for other marketing purposes. So we talked about how we took some of the video from this to create the new sizzle reel that's on the website and is being used at the trade shows. But that particular video was actually shot from my phone. I took that video standing in front of the stage. So if you're going to do something like that, I would actually try to have two different phones on the floor so that you can get things from multiple angles.
Yeah.
And it just gives you a little bit more to work with. I mean, I've always said, let's try to find as many birds that we can kill with one stone as possible. And I think this show, what we did with this, was a great example of that. You put something out there on social media, you give yourself great content for your fans to check out and to engage with. But at the same time, you walk away with video that you can use for marketing and for sizzle reels. And there are so many different things, even promos. I mean, now we have a great video that if the band decides they want to, if they have a show coming up someplace, they can put together a little 30-second commercial and use that as a Facebook ad. So, take advantage of those opportunities. Get as much as you can from every single thing that you do and just milk all of that stuff for all that it's worth.
Absolutely. I have two little technical questions I need to ask because I just want to know the answer. Does Facebook require you to shoot the video vertically? Because I noticed you guys shot the video vertically, and I was just curious about that.
Yeah, with Facebook Live, if you're shooting a Facebook Live video, you want to have the phone set up vertically, because if you turn it horizontally, it's going to make the screen of what you're seeing smaller, and it's going to put black bars on the side. So okay. It's counterintuitive to what you would typically think. If you're just going to shoot a video that you're going to put on Facebook, not a live video, just a regular Facebook video that you're going to shoot and you do it with your phone and you're going to upload it to Facebook, that one you're going to want to do horizontally. But if you're doing a Facebook Live broadcast, you want to do it vertically.
Okay. See, that wasn't a dumb question after all. Because I wasn't sure and you answered it. How about audio? That's the other thing I was curious about. Because the phone, the audio for the live feed's just what's being picked up on the phone, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. We did some audio tests during sound check just to see how things would sound and during our rehearsals. And one of the things that we did find out was moving around the band was okay. Of course, it's not the best audio, but we definitely didn't want her going back by the drums because then it was just all, a flood of drums and static. And so we had to keep her, unfortunately, we had to keep her sort of on the outside of the drum guard just so that we didn't get any of that. But otherwise, the audio wasn't too bad for the most part.
Yeah. The audio, for what we were doing, the audio was adequate.
Yeah. And I think that stresses why the visuals need to be entertaining, because if the visuals aren't entertaining, chances are the audio is not going to be great, and so people aren't going to want to stick around. And that's what I've experienced from people that have just stuck their phone somewhere in the venue. It's this awkward view, and the audio is terrible, so why am I going to watch this? So yeah, I think the idea of interacting is key.
And the other thing too is like if you are going to do one of these broadcasts and you have a couple of cameras put out on the floor to get that video for, you know, any kind of promotional stuff, a lot of times if you are standing right in front of the stage with the phone, the audio is not going to sound very good. The microphone's going to be overwhelmed because of the fact that, you know, you have all the speakers facing you. But the thing to keep in mind is if you're putting together any kind of sizzle reel, you're probably going to be chopping up that video and putting a music track to it anyway. So people aren't even going to be hearing that audio that was shot on the phone.
Yeah. Well, excellent. I think we covered everything. I think there's a lot of great information there for artists who are trying to actually use Facebook Live and, you know, there's other services like Periscope and such, but trying to make them more engaging and actually useful and not just a boring live shot of something happening. Where can artists find out about both of you and follow along and see what else is you guys have coming up?
They can find me at www.rockettothestars.com. And I actually, about a year or two ago, co-authored a book about the music business with Rick Barker, who used to manage Taylor Swift. And if anybody wants to grab a free copy of that, they can do so by going to www.giftfromwade.com.
Excellent. I'll check that out. And Amanda, how about you? I hear some things are new things happening for you in your career.
Yeah. Lots of good things coming up, so stay tuned. You can go to acjonesmusic.com. That's just the letter A, the letter C, jonesmusic.com. And then it's AC Jones Music for all the other social media sites like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. So yeah, keep in touch and see what's going on. We got some big things coming up for the summer, so it'll be good.
All right. Well, thank you to the both of you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the podcast. If you've been seeing some success from using Facebook Live, I'd love to hear about it. Feel free to call our listener line at 360-534-2209 or email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com. And of course, you can leave a comment under the show notes at cdbabypodcast.com. And I look forward to hearing from you. And again, don't forget to get those conference tickets. It's going to be a blast. And that's it. I'll catch you next time. You've been listening to the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, USA.